Spirit Radio Podcasts.
St. Patrick is considered the world's most famous patron saint, and he certainly is. If you look at all the celebrations around the world today, of course, is dedicated to him. On the line now to tell us more about St. Patrick, the history of his life and the role he played in bringing Christianity to Ireland, we have Professor Salvador Ryan, a professor of ecclesiastical history at St. Patrick's College in Maynooth. You're very welcome to the show, Salvador.
Thank you very much, Dominic. Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you. I mean, let's start at the beginning. St. Patrick, he wasn't born in Ireland. And where do you think he was originally from? Isn't there some debate about where it actually was?
There is some debate about where he was actually born. I mean, to be honest with you, it's not a question that really keeps me up at night. We're very fortunate in that Patrick has left us two documents that he wrote himself. One, the most famous being the Confession, or the Confessio, where he talks a little bit about his home life. And then he has a second document which concerns a raid that was made on early Christian converts that he made in Ireland, in which some were killed and others enslaved. But in the Confession, he does mention the place that he's from. He gives us the name of the place, which is Banaventa Burniai. Now, he doesn't tell us where that is. I think, you know, the general consensus is that it is on the west coast of Britain, that he may have been a Welshman. That's not universal. I mean, there are people who think that he may have been from Gaul or whatever. As I say, it's not a question that keeps me up at night, because I tend to focus on what he does tell us, rather than what he doesn't tell us.
Well, indeed. And what he does tell us is really quite extraordinary, isn't it? We know he's captured in the Confessio. He says, captured as a slave, and he escapes. I mean, the whole story is very dramatic.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, this is the point that I try to make to people. There's so many legends around St. Patrick, but I think that if you actually go back to the documents themselves and listen to what Patrick tells us himself, it is a fascinating story. Because, I mean, he comes from a well-to-do family. He's a Roman. He's Romano-British. He grows up still in Roman Britain. His family are fairly well-to-do. His father is a town councillor and also a deacon. His grandfather was a priest, he tells us. He grew up in a small estate. They had servants. He would have gotten a fairly good education. He is Christian, although he tells us that, you know, when he was growing up, that he did not know God at that time, meaning that even though he was Christian, he was nominally Christian, but he didn't have a lively faith. And when he's captured by these Irish raiders, he said they took thousands of others. That's probably, you know, an exaggeration. But there was a raid, and they took lots of people, even from his estate, and he ends up going to Ireland. But the fascinating thing is that, you know, he's been 6 years as a slave in Ireland, and then he manages to escape and goes back to his family. And the very human element, I think, is that he talks about his family who say, you know, don't ever go back there again. I mean, it's like, you know, a modern day example, if you're a reporter in Afghanistan or something like that, and you get into trouble and you eventually get back to your family, they're not going to want you to go back to Afghanistan. But yet he discerns a higher calling. And he discerns that he is being called to return to Ireland, to the land in which he was in captivity, and to almost enter into a new captivity. And he even talks about that being almost, he talks about being a slave again to a foreign people.
And he, when he came, returned for the second time to Ireland, you were just mentioning it there, he had a pretty torrid time, according to his account. He spent time with attacks on his life or threats on his life, and he says they were so awful I'm not going to mention what they are or something.
Absolutely.
Something along those lines.
It's a curious thing, Dominic, that in the Irish Christian tradition, we don't have a tradition of early Irish martyrs. I mean, if you think of early Irish martyrs, you think of them, in terms of the Roman Empire more generally, and, you know, the martyrs come from that period. And yet, we don't have a lively tradition of early Christian martyrs in Ireland. And yet, it was very difficult. I mean, Patrick expects to be martyred. Not only does he expect to be martyred, but he actually wants to be martyred, which may sound curious to us today, but, you know, at that time, martyrdom was considered to be the most perfect way of imitating Christ, of patterning yourself after Christ. to lay down your life for your people. So he does say specifically that actually it would be a grace if he was given the grace of actually giving his life for his people. Now, in the, ultimately, he doesn't have to do that, but he does talk about the, for instance, he does talk about, curiously, the opposition that he received, not just from pagans or from non-Christians, but from also the depredations that were made by a Christian British warlord called Caratacus, who makes raids on his newly converted, newly baptized converts. He says that, you know, the perfume, the chrism, he says, on their foreheads was hardly dry before this raid happened. And he said many of his new converts were killed, others were enslaved, and even they were sent over to the land of the Picts, which would be sort of modern-day Scotland. And he used very strong language about this, because he said that the limbs of Christ, he says, are being sold, he says, into a brothel. Which is very strong language, but he uses that Pauline imagery, of course, of being the members of the body of Christ and going to a land where Christianity had not embedded itself.
I mean, when we think about St. Patrick, Salvador, we obviously, you were mentioning sort of the legends around him, and the biggest idea that stays with us is that he, you know, basically brought Christianity to us here. I mean, what's your take on that and his influence?
Well, first of all, it's not, I mean, it has been known, let's say, for a very, very long time, for hundreds and hundreds of years. This is not news that Patrick did not bring Christianity to Ireland. And how we know that is because the earliest date that we have, a reliable date in Christian history, is actually 431. And it comes from a continental source. There's a layman who was very well connected, a guy called Prosper of Aquitaine, who's a friend of the Pope. He's very well connected in church circles. And he writes a chronicle of events. And he says, under the year 431, he says that in that year, he says that there was an individual called Palladius who was ordained by the Pope at the time, Pope Celestine, and was sent to the Irish who are believers in Christ as their first bishop. So he says, you know, there's this guy, Palladius, he's sent to the Irish in 431 as their first bishop. Now, we know that you wouldn't send a bishop to a place where there are no Christians. You send a bishop to a place where there's a quorum of Christians already there, and when there's a sizable enough community, they get a bishop. And that's in 431. So that's a continental source we have. Now, funny enough, Palladius gets very much airbrushed out of the story. And curiously, when we think of Patrick, we think of him coming to Ireland in 432. And the question is, well, where did we get that notion? For we were taught it in primary school. This was the date of his mission to Ireland. Well, it takes its cue from that earlier date of 431, because the promoters of the cult of St. Patrick, particularly in the 7th century, were very anxious that they would give the maximum credit to Patrick for the conversion of the Irish, because they were promoting his cult. So by extension, they had to downplay the contribution of Palladius. So he gets very much airbrushed out of the picture. And they say, well, look, you know, he came in 431. He didn't really stay that long. Maybe he didn't like the weather and he turned back and he didn't stay. And then almost hot on his heels, Patrick has to arrive in 432 to actually finish the mission or do the lion's share of the mission of converting the Irish. But it's been known for a very long time that it wasn't Patrick brought Christianity to Ireland. We don't know who did. It may have been that Christianity came to Ireland because slaves from Britain, from Roman Britain, Christian slaves, may have been brought over to Ireland. There were also trading links and so on. So we don't know when Christianity came to Ireland, but it certainly wasn't Patrick who brought Christianity.
But what we have from his account is interesting, because it seems that Ireland was, in its sort of, you know, late antiquity, the form of Ireland was certainly a very dangerous place to be, and that he put himself in the line of fire to bring people to the faith, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, how dangerous it was. I mean, let's say it was a very different place to be, because Patrick was used to living in the latter days, if you like, of Roman culture in Britain. You're coming, when he's growing up, you're coming to the end of the Roman presence in Britain. I mean, the Romans withdraw from Britain around 410. But he's growing up in a Romano-British family. When he goes to Ireland, he's going to a completely different context and a completely different existence. Ireland was never part of the Roman Empire for a start. There are no towns in Ireland. There are no cities in Ireland. It's organized very differently. It has a very different way of doing things. It has even a very different way of counting the days of the week. Mm. So when Christianity comes to Ireland, not only does Christianity come to Ireland, but also sort of a Roman way of doing things, a legacy of the Roman Empire, and of course Latin and literacy and so on will come with Christianity.
Mm. And so, you know, when we think about St. Patrick, going back again to those early sources, he was remarkably brave. He decided to go in the face of all logic and return to Ireland. Mm. And he's a hugely important person for the country. And of course, he's given more importance by, as you say, the cult of St. Patrick later. But his significance is not to be diminished, because we do have those accounts of how important he really is.
Yes, sure, absolutely. And I suppose the point I like to make to people is that if you were never interested in Christianity at all, and I mean, this is the thing, that if you were never interested in Christianity at all, if you are interested in history, he is a unique figure, because he is the only figure that exists who was enslaved, captured and enslaved in the Roman Empire and brought to a land outside of the Roman Empire, to a land essentially of the barbarians, as they used to be called, the non-Romans, brought in captivity to a land of the non-Romans, lived to tell the tale, and actually did tell the tale in his writings, and those writings have come down to us. Mm. So for that alone, he is... he's a unique figure historically, and his writings are hugely important. Mm.
And well worth a read, I would
say. Absolutely. Yeah. I would suggest to anyone who would like to read them, but also who would like to find out more about Patrick, there's a wonderful, wonderful website called www.confessio.ie. confessio.ie, and it's run from I think Trinity College, and it's been there for a number of years, and you will get all of Patrick's writings. You will also get a number of articles giving the background of Patrick and a number of other resources there. It's very accessible, and I would say definitely if you do nothing else this weekend, take the time to read one of Patrick's writings. It would take you probably half an hour, 40 minutes, and it will be well worthwhile, because he comes across as a very human individual. And I think if we can sort of scrape away that plaster cast saint from him, we can actually learn an awful lot about him as someone who realizes his own weakness, that he's... I mean, he starts off the confession by saying, Ego Patricius Peccator, I, Patrick, a sinner. And, you know, as you go through it, you realize that he realizes his own weakness, which I think is the true mark of a saint, someone who actually realizes their own need of God. Mm.
Well, Professor Salvador Ryan, very interesting stuff, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much, Dominic. Yeah, bye-bye now.
And a happy St. Patrick's Day to you. That's Professor Salvador Ryan, Professor of Ecclesiastical History at St. Patrick's College, Maynooth.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.